Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, people? I am your host, Christopher Jr. This is United Wrestling Council Radio. I am here with Sonia Marquez, Uncle Chaz, and Julian Ochoa. What's going on, people? How are you guys doing today? How's everyone doing?
Good.
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 Julian.
What's up, my brother Chaz?
Dude, I wanted to text
Welcome
you today. I've been getting your invitation. What's up, guys?
I thank you all for inviting me. You know, I'm blessed to be here, brothers.
No, we appreciate
yes.
you guys coming on.
We're blessed.
You know, we're looking forward to having you guys on more often. Big things coming in the future of the United Wrestling Council Radio. Just looking forward to having you guys on. Right now, we have Durango Kid coming on. I'm about to dial his number, get him on the line, so we can bring him on board.
Cool.
Nice.
How you been, Julian?
Still short. I haven't grown, brother. You know, mature Mexican, you already know that.
Yeah. Hey, but you angle the camera off in the movies, you know, you look giant.
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh. Hi, Durango Kid.
Yes.
Hey, this is Pistol Pete Jr. You are live on United Wrestling Council Radio. How are you doing today, sir?
Thank you.
Hey, thank you for coming on. I have Chaz here, Uncle Chaz here. I have Julian Ochoa, and I have Sonia Marquez here with me. Everyone say hi.
Hey, how's it
going?
Hi, guys.
Profe.
What's up, Chaz?
¿Cómo está?
Bien, bien. Bien, todo bien.
Ahí está. Oh, very cool. I background. I trained with Durango for a good year, about 2018 to 2019, something like that. And we got some. He taught me a lot as far as lucha goes. Cleaned up some of my game. He has some background in Polo Resu too, like extensive background. And he's produced some of the best talent out of the dojos here when it was the New Japan Dojo when it was here in Santa Monica way back, I think 2006. So, Durango, I wanted to ask you, introduce yourself, and then I got a few questions. I'm actually excited to learn a few things about you today.
Okay, I'm Durango Kid, and I'm going to apologize if my English is not that good. I'm going to try to do my best, and I hope I understand everything you guys tell me, and I'm going to try to answer the best way possible.
No, your English is good.
Yeah, nice, perfect, perfect.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm from Mexico City, but I moved into Los Angeles, California in 1988. I've been over to Mexico, and I've been in Japan a few times. Yeah, that's pretty much about it. I have been in CMLL. Short period of time, I was in AAA, too. I got to go for New Japan, too.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Tell us a little bit about, I know your history a little more, but for the audience that doesn't know, what got you into Lucha Libre? When did you start training in Lucha Libre? And any memories from your beginning years that stick out to you?
Okay. Yeah, my grandfather was a pro wrestler. My dad was a pro wrestler. And back in the days in Mexico, in the times of my dad, being a pro wrestler was the best thing to be. My dad used to take us to train since we were, when we started walking, we had to go to the gym. kids rather have to go to the gym instead of going to school. Yeah, then it was like my first match was when I was 13 years old.
Wow, 13, yeah.
I haven't stopped.
And for those that haven't seen Durango in the ring, he still moves really well. He does stuff that even guys that are in their 20s are afraid to do.
Yeah.
You got some beautiful moonsaults, some wonderful little twisting presses, and the hold-to-hold is it's really crisp. So as a performer, all these years later, you know, you're still very impressive. I've never told you that before, but I enjoy watching you. I enjoy watching you work. And do you remember your first match?
Yeah, like, not very well, but yeah, I was like, with, of course, an older guy, and he was in a town, like, let's say, you know, in a, how you say that, like, in a big party of the town in Mexico, and pretty much, yeah, like, it was kind of tough for me training, because my dad was kind of like a hardcore, you know, person that wanted to be tough, and he used to be tougher to us than to the other students. So we were kind of the extreme. If I'm rude to him, I'm going to be rude to everybody. And to be a pro wrestler, you need to be tough. And he used to beat us up and all that since we were really small. And when I was 13, I started wrestling. I was so skinny. And all the guys that I used to go against, they were a lot bigger than me, and they used to beat me up. But that's the way this is, you know.
Yes, you got to earn your stripes and earn the respect of the veterans in pro wrestling for sure. But that's good because, I feel like I got that kind of training from my trainers too. You're much nicer than that, Durango, for the year that I trained with you here in Huntington Park. You didn't beat me up, but you did show me some cool catch wrestling submissions. So why don't we talk about that? Your time in Japan, I remember that you're connected to some legitimate grapplers and you have some experience too. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Like, I went to Japan, and like, let's say when I got here, I always wanted to do pro wrestling. Like, the way I see it, since I was small, is more lucha libre for me, is more than one match. And my idea of pro wrestling is like a discipline. It's not too much of a show, you know. Like, and in my case, like any pro wrestling should be able to fight versus any MMA guy or judo or any discipline. And because if you learn it the right way, it's the thing most that they all do. And I went to Japan, and I didn't know too much about the Japanese style, but like a Liger and Ricky Boy too helped me a lot. The dojo of New Japan, like, helped me a lot. I was living in the dojo for a good time, and they helped me a lot to understand the style, you know. Because even though like the moves, if you do them the same way, it's the same way, but like, I think that the psychology of the wrestling is different. And it helped me a lot, like, and now, of course, like I said, I was training for a good time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, wrestling, some kind of some Muay Thai boxing too. So I wanted to be complete to know exactly how those disciplines work, you know. Pretty much, like, it was really cool. Those guys in Japan, all of them, like, I know many guys that they're legends. And I saw them because I had been with them in the local room, not because I saw them in a magazine or not, because I was never a wrestler. I was put in wrestling and living the life of wrestler, but as in person, you know, not a fan, and then I wanted to be a pro wrestler because I had never been a fan. I like watching it, but like in a technical way, and I enjoy it, you know, like a sport, like a discipline, and of course, of a show too, you know, like a show, but Well, I mean, it's like, let's say, the ridiculous, you know, that I like myself. You know, I'm more to see part. I don't like, let's say, even though, like, some luchadores, they like to get her crazy and fight with the crowd. I usually don't never do that. I like to do my match with the discipline, you know, like with wrestling. No, with us, you know, all that. And I know, like, you have to learn because it's a show. But, like, I like more the aspect of the real wrestling.
Mm.
Yeah, hope, it's like to, what I'm saying.
Like,
I told you, my English is that good.
No, it's good English, and I understand everything.
Yeah, you're good.
And I understand what you mean. You like to keep it in the ring. You like to keep it technical, hold for hold, flying in the ring instead of, como dicen en español, un desmadre, where it just goes all over and they do, you know, anything
profesional,
crazy stuff.
Profesional. Just say professional in the ring.
Yeah.
Don't take it outside. You're right. No,
yeah.
No drama,
yeah.
No problemas, yeah. Nice.
Keep it in the ring.
Yeah, because I have the idea that we spend so many hours and so many years learning the moves. Let's give that to the people, you know. I feel like, it's okay that some guys do that because, you know, it has to have variety, you know, like it has to be different. Everybody is different. But, like, that's the idea pretty much how wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very technical style based in martial arts. You heard the list of different martial arts. You have not just your – I didn't know your grandfather was a wrestler too. That's news to me today, but I knew your father was a wrestler. And then you have other family too that was wrestler. I know you have a brother.
Yeah.
Do you have any other family?
I have an uncle that – a long time ago, he was a pro wrestler. He was a pro wrestler in Mexico, and he was kind of like a good, kind of like a level, you know. And my brother, his father, has been wrestling all his life in Mexico. He has gone to Japan for tours, but like Alex, he's pretty much he's been living in Mexico all his life, and he's still there. And pretty much that's what it is. And now I pretend my kid to do wrestling too, you know, because his grandfather was a big name and he wants to follow the legacy of his grandfather.
Yes, do you mind? For those that don't know, he's talking about Antonio Inoki, rest in peace. He recently passed away, but what a legend.
Yes.
What a legend he was and what a legacy he left behind. I've seen the pictures of your son. He had a competition recently, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he started doing like amateur wrestling.
There you go.
Nice.
Pretty much like our goal of him and mine is like, let's say that he wants to see if it's possible to do a match of the 50th anniversary of Ali versus Inoki. It was supposed to be with one of the grandsons of Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
In 4 years, the anniversary of that fight.
That legend right there
know.
Talking.
Huh?
That's
well,
pura leyenda,
you
see.
Oh, Ali and Inoki. Ali and Inoki was one of the first highly publicized mixed martial arts fights, shall we say. It was like boxing versus wrestling. And so they went at it. What I don't remember the year, but it was in the 70s.
Wow. I wonder if there's any footage of it to see it.
Oh, yeah. It's out there. You can check out the whole match. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Wow. I got to check that out.
It was interesting, and it was like, I guess, was the first pay-per-view in the Madison Square Garden, something like that. And it was really interesting because Muhammad Ali charged a lot because he was in his prime. But in that time, Mr. Antonio Inoki used to hire the best fighters to fight them, you know. And that's why he called the New Japan the King of Sports, because he wanted to prove that pro wrestlers could beat up any other disciplines. And the funny thing is, when Muhammad Ali got to Japan, he thought that it was going to be work. And when he was told that it was not going to be fixed and it was going to be real, he tried to pull out. And because they have paid her, all the investment that was made, like Muhammad Ali put the rule like no holds, no suplexes. And at the first moment that Anthony Cote tried to grab him, he would stop, get off the ring. So that's why it was only kicks and punches. That's why you see in the and the thing is like Muhammad Ali had to get a finger in his legs after that fight because it was really beat up.
So I'll give a that's very interesting. I'll give a quick description of the fight. For the most part, you know, Muhammad Ali's a boxer, so you gotta keep your head and body protected from that. But Antonio knew kicks, so what he did is he kind of laid in a position where he couldn't be punched, but he could kick, and that's how Muhammad Ali's legs ended up really injured. I heard that those were extensive injuries that he received because it was all leg kicks. Straight to the thighs, to the calves, and things like this. So that match is a legend in itself.
Yeah, it was. Interesting. Yeah.
Let's talk about your move to LA. How was it for you as far as getting into the scene at that time? And you know, I we'll start with that. How was that for you?
That's fine. Like, I came as many Mexicans, you know, crossing the border, like, you know, taking weeks and all that. And I was getting to 16 years old. And, you know, it's really tough for, like, the beginning, an immigrant coming here without papers, not speaking the language, not knowing anything, not knowing nobody. And that has been one of the big... kind of like, how you say, I don't know, say, los obstáculos, it's been like a...
obstacle. Kind of the big obstacle.
Yeah, for me, and I know for many Mexicans, because I got offered to go to Japan before the 2000. I got offered to go to Japan since the 1997, 1998. Me and a guy called Impacto, they used to offer us all the time to go to Japan, but we couldn't go because we didn't have papers back then, you know? So it was really tough. Then it gets an issue because if you don't have a visa to get into the United States, you have to fly directly from Mexico to Japan. And the flight from Mexico to Japan was more than $4,000. The flight from the U.S., it was like $800, $1,000. So it's a $3,000 difference. The remote is harder for them to try somebody from Mexico, like try somebody from the U.S., you know? And
yeah.
It's kind of difficult, but like, let's say, we are here, many guys are here, but it's one of the things that has stopped many guys that I know for being successful, the fact that they don't have a passport or a visa or the papers, you know? Because they cannot move from here.
Yeah, they have to stay here. It just doesn't make sense to pay $5,000 to take a flight to. That's a lot of money, and so yeah, that can be definitely an obstacle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and also do tryouts to go to other states. You cannot do it because you're illegal. You cannot fly to other states, you know. So, I was able to move around, and I got to places that I never thought I was gonna get. But still, if I would have been born in the United States, I know it would be a huge difference. Mm-hmm. We're here, we're doing good, and we're doing the best that we can, you know?
Yes. Speaking of doing the best, Durango doesn't just wrestle. He's a trainer. He's been a trainer for a long time. He's produced some very big names. I'll let him tell you who he's produced. I know myself, and I don't know every single one, but I know quite a few. And So tell us about the New Japan Dojo that was in Santa Monica that you were in charge of.
I got it. When I got there, they were over these guys, you know, and I'm not going to tell you, I was offended because they were good and they're really good. I kind of, put my little 2 cents there, teaching a couple moves, different moves. I'm doing, the lucha part because they knew only, the American style. And we used to do shoot and all that. And, there were many guys there that really good. That it was Brian Danielson, Rocky Romero, Ricky Reyes, TJ Perkins. All the big names, they were there. Because even though CM Punk got to be there, Samoa Joe, Nick, Finn Balor came out of there, Alex Kozlov. It was huge. It was a lot of big names that they came out of there. And it was so good and it was so sad that, it had to close because it was a big window for the guys to go to Japan or to make it in the pro wrestling. It was easy access to be seen in Japan and to be sent in Japan. It had to close. Mr. Inoki sold the company. Opened the other company and then got into competition with New Japan. And so we separated. There were a lot of talent that came out about that place.
Yeah, it's really...
I would like to tell you the side of this story, when we were there, we were a bunch of people, and we keep running the dojo. Then the time came that, everybody left, and Inoki started just stay alone right there, and we were good friends, and, we started hanging out, and we started being together because we are the only ones, she doesn't have family here, I don't have family here, and, we were good friends, we stayed together, and we kept together, and we're still together now, and, it just happened. She doesn't have anywhere to go. I didn't have anywhere to go. And all the other people, that they made it. But when you have money and you do good, there are people all around. And once, the money stops coming in, they abandon you. They just go their own way and find their own path and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. You met your wife. You connected with your wife your current wife at the dojo.
Yeah. We, as I told you, we were there, and we stayed there, and we were the only ones left, and we stayed together until now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
I know that you have. Yeah, nice. You have two kids together, no?
The oldest one, I have raised him, and he calls me that, but he's son from her previous marriage.
I see, okay.
And the big one is mine. Both of them are mine, but biologically, he's had another dad.
Yeah. And even though the New Japan Dojo in Santa Monica closed, you continued to train people throughout all these years. Am I mistaken in that?
No, we kept training, we kept teaching people, and still there were some people that got there, and we were sending some people to still Japan and to Mexico City. And until now, I was stuck in Mexico for 4 years, and I was teaching there, but I came back 10 years ago, and I kept training here, and I'm training people, and now we're doing shows. We have a big show the March 30th, the WrestleMania weekend, the Thursday, we're doing Ultimo Dragon, Drago, Star, and we have a bunch of talent for that day. And we are trying to do at least once a month shows for the students to get experience.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow, I might have to swing by on the 30th of March, see what's going on. It's going to be a busy weekend because we've got WrestleMania right here.
Yes, very busy. A lot of people are around here. Yeah.
Where is your school located, in case anybody listening is interested?
Yeah, right now we're in Gardena. And pretty much, like, let's say, as just I'm one of the nicest pro wrestlers in the business because everybody is kind of tough and, like, they want to chop you up and beat you up and all that, you know. But I don't do that. Mm. I used to be like that years ago. But once you start learning more and training other disciplines, all that, you learn, like, let's say, okay, that's not the way to do it, you know. When you get into a training box, they start teaching you the jab, the 1-2, jump in the rope. And then after a long time, they get to put you to hit the back. And then when you know, they put you to do a sparring with a guy. You know, they don't just start beating you up. Pretty much, like, let's see, I know, let's say, pro wrestlers are tough. They're taught to be tough. But, like, I want to enjoy it, and I want them to learn. If he's gonna test, he's gonna get it on the road, and he's gonna have to do it himself. I don't wanna, you know, be the one that is being rude to them and abuse the fact that I'm the trainer to be, you know, chopping them and slamming them and all that.
That's something I always wondered. Do they really bully you like that? Or I know they want you to be tough, but I always wonder, is that real? But now he answered my question without even asking. That they really, when you're getting trained, do they really hit you hard like that? That'll scare a lot of people.
I know.
the way you said it right now, makes more sense too for a lot of. Not everybody could go that to start tough. Sometimes they need to learn how to be tough.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a way of training in the past when I was a kid. Like, the guys, they come to try to train, and the maestro luchador used to beat them up the first day so they don't come back, and they keep the registration fee and the first month. Then when he come back, they hurt them again, and they stop coming. Until they see, like, oh, yeah, he really wants to train. But still, they were really tough to them. So, like, it kind of, like, helped a bit because you prove that you want to be there, you know? But the other side, like, you better teach them first, and then, okay, now you can defend yourself. Let's have a match. Let's have a fight or, you know, not beating you with, like, being ready for getting the beat up, you know?
Yeah, so there's a difference between just bringing somebody in and bullying them and getting them out of the school so that you could keep their money. And like Durango was saying, he's changed. So nowadays he gets people ready gradually, little by little, until we get in there and go all out. But by that point, you know, you're ready to go. You're not going to be overwhelmed by that. So that's my year of training with Durango.
That's something new.
I learned a lot. Well, some of my favorite things were the holds that Durango taught me. Some of the catch wrestling based submissions and transitions. Let's see what else do we have? Do you have any shows coming up, Profe? Other than the 30th of March, is there another one?
It's the next one. No. No, we're waiting for March 30 because we wanna put effort to advertise it the way it's supposed to. Because usually we don't advertise our shows well because I don't have the production and the people that they know how to do it. But I do the shows because I need the guys to be practicing and be in training, you know? Like, I'm not doing it. I don't do shows for the business topic, like, oh, I want to make money. Because I end up losing money in every show. And I know I'm not doing the advertising the right way, but I don't put too much effort on that because my main thing is, like, the thing is to be practicing and having matches and being time on the ring in a real match, you know. But like,
yeah, getting the reps in. Getting the reps in.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm like, I know a fact. I know most of the rest, the trainers right here since I got here. 1990, I started like knowing all the guys, and I know for a fact, like let's say that most of them, they are from here and they are here. I'm pretty much kind of the rare one that, like let's say, I learned in Arena Mexico, I learned with the AAA group, I learned like with the independent people, like I learned from Mexico, in Mexico with the Mexicans and the way it is in Mexico. I learned in Japan with the Japanese people, the real guys from Japan, and all that. So I know for a fact that, like, let's say, that I'm way better to teach the guys the way. Because I have seen trainers that they learned here, they were not taught the right way, but they still keep teaching, which is fine, you know, because they like to have fun. But, like, let's say, like I told you, for me, this is a discipline, and for me, the wrestling, the way I do it, the headlock that you do it, it has to be done the right way. And the problem in many lucha places, even in Mexico, that they don't teach them the right way to do it. And each trainer teaches it different, and they do it different, you know? When it is same discipline the right way. And that's what I like about Japan. You know, the system that they have is the same in all the teams, in all the dojos. And that's the way it's supposed to be, you know. When you have to learn and you bust your ass to learn and to be tough. And honestly, like let's say, they don't, you decide of like let's say, this is a show. For Japan, it's a respectful team that is just like let's say, being strong and getting to a real fight in the wrestling. And like let's say, I respect everything because I have really nice, like, kid, this guy like Nick from Vegas, they're so beautiful workers of the American style, you know? And Sam Adonis also, like, they know all the aspects that I like, you know? But it's too much that they have to learn that, like, let's say, I'd rather to just focus more in the technique and to do the things the right way.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, every school has its way of training its students, and every place will be different. But that's the thing that Japan is known for, is it is more of a discipline over there, more of a place, a dojo, where you have to prove yourself. And I personally do like that style. I mean, speaking of coming up tough, I came up with boxing myself, and I can't say I really boxed very much as a kid. I just got punched in the face a lot and got used to it, built some character. It was my cousins, you know. And so, but of course there was the techniques as well. So I can definitely dig that, the way it is in Japan.
Yeah. I pretty much like, let's say, the lucha environment is really, really contaminated with guys that they don't know anything, you know. And the thing is, like, let's say, they keep their mask. They don't even wrestle. They don't even train, but they have their mask, and they're going all around saying, oh, I'm a luchador. I'm a luchador. And you see their bodies, and you go, okay, come on, really? You know? And that happens in...
it's like the mask is earned, not bought.
And the
name,
like,
is made.
A boxer.
Yeah.
With the boxer, is boxing... And it's active, he's a boxer. When he doesn't box no more, he said, like, I'm a former boxer. I used to box before. But the luchadors, they're from that I know that, like, let's say, they never get booked, they never train, but they call themselves luchadors, you know? And they tell everybody, oh, I'm a luchador.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to
Guys, go like, I really appreciate your time, guys. Like, I need to go train. Any other day that you want to call me again, I'm more than happy to help you guys. But right now, this is a really tough time that, like, I have to get to the place and get ready to go train. And I was enjoying a lot talking to you guys. And I hope, like, let's say, we get other chance to talk more and any questions that you have. But right now, like, I'm going to have to leave you guys. And thank you so much. I really appreciate your call. Chaz, thank you so much for everything. Like, I really appreciate you guys. And I hope we talk again all the time.
Would love to, Profe. Would love to. Get to training, run the class, get your students ready, and we'll talk to you soon in the future.
Hey, Durango.
Thank you very much.
Yes?
Hey, this is Manny with United Wrestling Council. I just want to say thank you very much for allowing us to interview you. And for anybody who wants to learn wrestling, pro wrestling the right way, go to Durango School. I went to a school, and he is a very good instructor. He takes his time with his students.
Okay.
He has young kids training too. So, you know, Durango, give him the address and all that to where your school's at so they can go to it if people are interested.
Yeah. My school is in Gardena, California. It's in Avonmore Street and along the street. And the phone number is 424-901-3025.
3025. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right. Have a wonderful night. Be safe.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Right,
it was an
friend.
Honor to have you on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was great catching up with him. A lot of, he's got so many stories to tell. You already know we barely touched the surface with him today.
Oh, you can tell.
But,
definitely. That was a great interview.
Yeah.
That was a great interview.
He, like I said, when I went to his school a couple of weeks ago, he took his time with his students. He has quite a few students, even young kids, that are there training already, you know, and females that he's training too. And if he sees that you're doing something wrong, he'll stop and take his time to show you how to do it right. You know, and that reminds me back in the days when I was training with Mr. Mexico and Pistol Pete and Mondo Guerrero. Well, you know what? Mondo Guerrero's a different story because he'd get after you. Feet too sometimes, but it's all about being safe. That's the main thing, is being safe and taking care of your partner and yourself, you know. So, it was an honor to talk to him. You know, have you guys, I really do appreciate you guys, talking to him and being patient. How's everybody tonight anyways?
Good.
Oh, real quick, I want to touch on a few things about him as well. He has a student named Zyra, and she's a wonderful wrestler. Like, you could see it in her work. If you look up Zyra, you will see, you know, that she's a good grappler. She has wonderful techniques, and I actually was fortunate to connect her with him to get him to train her and polish her. I did a little training with her. I got her some basics in, and then she went to him, and he's the one that really got her to, you know, be able to tell stories in that ring physically. So look up Zyra. That's one of his students. The whole crew over there is really nice guys. I know them all personally. The dojo has bounced around. It was once upon a time close to LAX, and then he moved it to a place where they could do shows as well. So for about a year in Huntington Park, they were running shows out of the same venue that they would train in. And just by chance, I happened to be living like 3 blocks away. So that was for me like pretty much heaven, because I had a guaranteed booking every Sunday since they were running weekly. And I was able to wrestle with all kinds of people and meet all kinds of people while there. But as it went, they were only there for a year, and then they had to switch things around due to the pandemic. But I'm happy to see that he's operating in full force again. So you're right, Manny. He's a great trainer, and he'll explain things in detail. He's a very knowledgeable person.
Yes.
Yeah, we should interview him again. I liked it a lot, and I thank you guys for having me too on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Would you get in the ring and start learning what it's all about being a wrestler? You know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Where you been, man? I haven't seen you around. I haven't seen you around, Julian.
I've been hiding, man. Hibernating. It's been cold.
And wet, right?
No, I've been working, brother. Just been working a lot, you know, and then I'm back in the game filming here and there, you know, doing my thing. And, you know, we're trying to make it happen with the wrestling with you guys, too. you know, it's becoming a family with you guys. I really appreciate you guys for having me with you guys, you know.
No, it's just
anything
to
you everybody what you're going to be doing for UWC, what you're doing for us.
If I will say that again.
Julian is going to be working as our announcer for our
yes.
event.
Oh.
So we're going to see how Julian works, and you know, hopefully he's been practicing, you know.
Yeah.
And
go ahead, it's going to happen. I'm gonna give you my best.
There you go.
Mm.
So
yep.
Nice.
I'll be there.
Julian, give us a little history about yourself. Did you tell everybody what you do on the side?
Well, I'm a full-time security guard, also wrestling fanatic and lucha libre, you know, grew up with that with my parents watching it, you know, and I'm also an actor. I did music in the past too, you know, little rapping music, but my main goal is acting and the lucha libre, like getting more involved in lucha libre and acting. Those are my main two goals.
Well, you're with the
lucha
right
libre
team right now, Julian.
Man.
You know, so you got some good team players. You know, you got Chaz, you have Fabi, you have Pete,
yes.
Pistol Pete Jr.
Yes.
His sisters, everybody, you know, the whole family can help.
Yes.
You know?
And you know what's funny? That I know Chaz for a long time as only through social media. He started, like, following me out of nowhere when I used to – he knows me when I used to paint and draw. That was my first Instagram because I used to sell paintings. And then when I got my first – accidentally got a gig to be in a movie, small role, I changed my Instagram to Pachuco, you know, OG Pachuco. But before it used to be Pachuco Art because I used to sell paintings. And that's how far Chaz goes with me. You know, until one day we actually met, you know, in that event. And then little by little, you know, start meeting more people. Like, you guys to me are somebody. You guys to me are legends. You guys, you know, are in the game. I'm nobody. And for you guys to take me in, it's a blessing.
Well, you know, we're all a team, like I said. We're all about trying to help each other get that next level up, you know.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's what we're all about. You know, we're team. There's no I team, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it wasn't for Pistol Pete, you know, this wouldn't be happening. You know, and I gave him nothing but credit, you know.
Yeah.
Since when I stopped wrestling, he's always been there for me no matter what. We talked and all that, and that's when we laughed and whatnot, you know.
Yeah,
and to have his sons and his daughter to be part of United Wrestling Council is nothing but an honor for me. You know, I really do appreciate it. And Marta, which is his ex-wife.
And,
you know,
it's
nothing but family, and I really do appreciate that. That helps, you know?
I never met them until this last Saturday that we had the meeting, and I just felt good vibes with them immediately, like almost instantly.
Uh-huh.
And I never met them ever. You know what I mean? And I felt like family. You guys were there, you know. And then we connected quickly, so fast. How cool, you know. I know this is going to be a good thing. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is a year. This is our time.
We're all going to move up the same level. We're all going to shoot for the star, and nothing's going to stop us.
Yes.
You know, I'm always looking for something. You know, interviews or you know, events that we can go in and promote our company. It's not my company.
Yes.
It's ours. Even though the bills, I'm flipping the bills and crying all the time. But you know what? It's our company, you know. It's our company.
Hey, we're going to try to make you not cry. We're going to try to make you not cry, Manny.
Oh, man, there you go, man. I want to see that. It's like, oh, happy days, you know.
We just got a caller to
join us. Yes, dollar bills.
Caller, go ahead.
Hello there, guys. Hey, Chaz.
Hey, Bill. I recognize that voice. What's up, man? How you doing?
Just listening to the podcast. It sounds really good.
I'm glad to hear you're enjoying yourself.
You know how long I've been in the business and how long I was a fan before I got in the business.
Yeah. We've been playing phone tag, Bill. I think you're it, but now I'm it. Bill is awesome. Bill is awesome. Bill, I remember you. I remember I was scared of you when I first started because I was doing a heel nerd lawyer type character. I was totally different than what I'm doing now. I had short hair and a fade and only the mustache nice and trimmed and stuff, clean shaven otherwise. It was crazy, man. Can't believe I ever had that style. But yeah, Bill, I remember once upon a time I was talking, like I was doing my heel stuff to some kid, and then Bill stood up and he looked pissed. I didn't know Bill. I was like, oh man, am I gonna have to get in a fight with him? How tall are you, Bill?
How tall am I now? I'm 6'3". I was 6'4". I shrank when you get older.
Yeah, so you're pretty tall. I'm about 6 feet. So.
Yeah.
But Bill, I remember you as a fan, and then gradually you actually gave me some of my first bookings outside of my school. Because a lot of schools, what they do, a lot of wrestling schools, they'll run their own shows, student showcases, just for their
Correct.
Students to be able to get essentially to get their reps in. You know what I mean? So it's not about making money or producing the best product. It's about getting their students a chance to work and make all their, like, put all their lessons, all the theory to the test and see what works for them. But outside of Santino's, where I got trained, Bill was one of the first bookers to give me a shot. And he was always true to his word, too. So that's the other thing that I can say about Bill is he always followed through. He never tried to do anything that made me – there are some promoters out there that I will not name that I can say, oh, okay, well, you know, that was not a good experience. But with Bill, I always had a good experience. So thank you, Bill, for giving me a shot, like, when I was still new, you know.
Right. You know, I was thinking about quitting as a promoter, but because of my health. My health is kind of really bad right now. But the guys in the business from OCCW kind of convinced me to stay. So we're moving our promotion back to Stanton, California. I'm going to let them run the bookings, and I'm just going to kick back and, of course, do what I have to do and do the payouts, of course, but that's okay. That's where you don't want to worry about the money by then. I remember Durango actually brought me in as a ref one time, and I really enjoyed reffing those shows. The ones in, I believe, Panorama City, and Durango testified to this. I actually got my butt kicked by Blood Eagle and Laberinto.
Nice.
But, yeah. But that was a fun time as a ref. The Ballad Brothers were the ones that brought me up as a ref. They taught me how to ref like Shannon Ballard. And then, actually, my first referee gig was actually at Lucha Pro when I used to go and watch the shows. And then Trigger asked me to come in and ref. Well, I said, sure, I'll try it. What the heck? I was so out of shape. I got in there and refereed a couple matches, and I was blown out, of course, like usual. And then I said, where's the other ref? The ref's not going to show up, so I ended up doing the rest of the matches.
The cardio ref. The marathon.
Yeah. Cardio ref is right. I tore my pants. I tore my shoes. I did everything. And I didn't have knee pads on that day.
Oh, your knees must have been torn up.
Yeah.
Bill. This is Manny with
hey, Manny.
United Wrestling Council. Hey, brother. Hey, aren't you a former Marine?
I'm a former Marine, yep.
Super Fi, brother.
Yep,
super
thank
five.
You. Yeah, 1972 to 76.
Yep, I went in 85 after high school. So,
yeah, I went in right in after high school. So.
Yeah?
I just want to step in and say hi to everybody. I mean, I don't want to keep too long because I know you guys got a lot of luchadors in lucha wrestling you want to talk about. So,
hey, Bill, you have any shows coming up, Bill, you want to promote on the radio station here?
I do have one. It's on February 25th in Chatsworth, California at 19801 Unit 10 at the Boulder Dash Building. It's a Saturday night, $20 at the door, or you can buy the tickets online. For $10.
You know, all right there.
Look up Bill Chu on Facebook. You'll see you'll see that info.
Yeah, and you also see me on Instagram too. So,
what's your Insta?
It says Chew. I think it says Chew 1976. I think. I'm not too sure. I'm not on it right now. So.
All right. Okay, well, hey, thank you for calling. And,
no problem.
Good luck with your show.
Thanks.
And and hopefully you come down to our show, brother. Check us out.
I will.
I'll give you 10% off the ticket, Bill.
You're funny. Funny
yeah,
guy.
Charge him $100.
Oh, you're funny too.
Hoorah, hoorah.
Hoorah, yeah. Oh, it's actually Chew1176. You can get me on Instagram.
Chew1176.
Right on.
There we go.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, have a good evening. I'm going to go back to watching old-time movies.
Nice.
Thank you for
everybody
calling.
Take care.
Thanks for calling in. Thank
all right.
Hey,
bye-bye.
We're
good night.
Take a quick break. We're going to have a word from our sponsor. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memories. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
And we're back. We had a great show so far. That was an excellent interview with Rango Kid. Bill Chew calling in, that was amazing. Now it's time for Sonia and the news. Sonia, what do you got?
So, my news is that Randy Savage's brother died. He is known as the Genius, and his name was Lanny Popo? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Say again, it was a cluster earlier. What's going on with your news?
Oh, Randy Savage's brother died.
Yes,
Lanny
Poffo, the
yes.
Genius.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
sad. I mean, yeah. Well, for me, I always enjoyed watching his Facebook posts were always nice and very pleasant. I was friends
yeah.
with him on Facebook. I never met him, but I was friends with him on Facebook. So, and every time, every day, well, maybe almost every day, I'd see a post from him, and it was always something nice, like, you know, pictures of him and Randy with kissing the mom, you know?
Yeah.
And they're back together, you know? That's the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah, definitely.
You know, like
that's
all
so
three of them are together now.
All of them
huh?
dying off and stuff. All the great wrestlers.
Yeah, it's all our heroes.
Yeah.
All the guys are the reason
yeah,
we
like the ones
we
grew up watching and stuff.
But that's, you know, that's just the way it goes. Especially
life,
when the business,
yeah.
you know, like in the 80s, it was
yeah.
crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yes. 80s was crazy, man. But obviously I was a baby then, but. The,
yeah,
what
that
they
was
allow.
My dad.
Yeah.
Time, time.
Yeah. Oh, if you guys, speaking of your dad, if you guys want to watch something entertaining, look up Pistol Pete Budokan on the Wally George Show on YouTube.
Oh,
that thing
yes.
is hilarious.
Yes.
No,
I
used to watch that show back in the days. I used to watch that show, Wally George. Oh,
my
God.
My dad is.
He's
oh,
bringing back
God,
memories right there. That's OG right there.
Remember that?
Man,
yeah.
I remember.
Yeah,
not,
dad,
you know what?
I remember.
A lot of people do not know about Wally George.
No, they don't.
They
yeah,
don't.
But Wally George is...
Like, If you just missed it, if you missed it, you missed it. There was a specific time in the world that Wally George was. It wasn't on a major station. It was a small time talk show that just blew up.
Yes. And I remember, I didn't know who he was. It's just me switching channels, can't sleep late at night, change channels, and I see this man. Who the heck is this in a suit?
Was it
sometimes
like
with American flags. Yeah, he was like
a public access channel.
Yes,
I remember
KDOC.
KDOC.
Yep.
Totally. And we will watch. I will watch on who this guy is. I didn't know at first, you know, when I'm switching channels, and just got hooked watching him every time. You know, he was crazy, and I watched him. You know, he looked like what the heck is this? Like a president of the United States or what? The way he was dressed, and you know, sometimes he had the flag.
Yeah, he always had that flag, and he had the rocket shooting off in the background.
Yeah.
The picture, it was framed.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Wally George is what you call the combat TV, which was like, it was like, consider it pro wrestling in the version of a political debate. They're debating politics, and it's just, you know.
Yeah.
And so what was great was when your dad was on there with Budokan, that they were pretty much ready for that role, and so when I found that footage, because I was doing research on your dad, that's one of the things I came across. And actually, finding that footage made me go down a Wally George rabbit hole. Where I just started.
Did he know? His daughter is that girl from The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Rebecca De Mornay.
Yes.
Mm.
But they ended up on.
Is he still alive, Wally George?
Doubt it.
He passed away. He passed away when.
Oh, he passed away. I remember as a kid watching him. okay.
You were probably.
That's crazy. You guys
think.
That's crazy. You guys bringing this up, bringing back memories, man. I like to watch that.
The best thing about that guy was his hairstyle. That haircut. But speaking of Pistol Pete, the thing that I would love to like dig through the archives, because I've watched some of your dad's work in the ring too, and I honestly, I've stolen some of the things he would do.
nice.
You know. Yeah. So.
You gonna start throwing tortillas in the?
maybe I will, but I gotta not in L.A. because people like me in L.A. I gotta go to somewhere else. You know? Tell him, hey, I hate this town.
That was one of my favorite things that he'd throw them at people. People would get so mad.
Oh, well, you know what? I saw I saw someone do that like way later, though, past your dad's time. It was like late 90s. That's the first time I saw that. Why would he do that? Why would he throw the tortillas? Was that like, the racial thing?
Yes. He would be like, here, go feed your children, and like talk shit to like people, you know, like that was he would totally be canceled now.
Nah.
He would be super canceled.
Most of the things in the 80s, we can agree.
I think in the era that we are now, if somebody throws tortillas in the ring, they're going to call it racist. Everybody takes it too personal. They don't see it as a joke or as a...
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's true.
Everybody needs to chill out.
Yeah, have some fun. Let people make mistakes. You make a mistake, you can grow and learn from that mistake. But, If a person refuses to change, then okay. But then don't cancel someone because they made a mistake. But
But my dad has that. He has his own. He had his own YouTube page where you could pretty much find anything he's probably done on his. I think it was called. I think it's like Lester Pilot or something like that.
Lester Pilot. Yep.
What is that?
Lester Pilot. You'll find my dad. Lester Pilot.
How do you spell that?
L-E-S-T-E-R.
T-E-R.
Lester.
And P-I-O-L.
It's funny, though, because the name Lester Pilot comes from his character that he played on Club Fed, this movie he did a long time ago.
Yeah, it's an anagram of Pistol Pete.
Yes.
I see. I did find it, and I have subscribed, and I'm going to be stealing all these moves.
You're gonna see you
you better,
so fucking funny.
Hey, Pistol, Pistol P, you better patent stuff.
You're probably gonna find some videos of us when we were little.
I'm gonna be digging through this.
We did a show called Lady of Spain, or we did a director's reel called Lady of Spain.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this has been a blast, and you know we're right up against the clock. We're running out of time here, so I want to make sure. So don't forget, tune in next week. We're gonna have Abdul Kader, professional wrestler, on the show, bodybuilder, professional wrestler, mixed martial artist. So tune in next week. I thank you guys for being here, Chaz, Julian. It was an honor to have you guys on.
Next show,
April 30th. I look forward to having you guys on again and again and again, and look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Thank you. One quick thing. Follow me on Instagram, El Aguaman, ELAGUAMAN, not Aquaman, El Aguaman. And we have a show coming up this Sunday, Lucha Pro. I am promoting it. So if you got any questions, just send that DM. You want tickets, send that DM. Otherwise, we got April 30th for UWC, and we'll be doing it. We'll be doing it to it.
Yeah.
You want to plug your social medias as well?
Well, I only have Instagram. My Instagram is OG Pachuco 562. OG PACHUCO 562.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. And then don't forget, as always, you can find me on Instagram at The Real Press Start. Just go ahead and follow me right there. And that, guys, is the end of the show. I appreciate it. You guys have a great night.
Good night.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.